Nathan passed out a new page to you, and if you don't have one, we've got more up here. But this, we're coming in on the last articles of the New Hampshire Confession of Faith. Thought it appropriate to go ahead and take a look at these last two. And there's some this next one I think is a good one. This subject touched on and different things that we've looked at, and then the next article we're going to find in that article, as it's written, there's and the verses that are referred to, we would have some expounding upon that article that is not done in it. So we'll go ahead and look to review it. Article 18. Tonight we're on Article 17 of the Righteous and the Wicked. We'll take a look at these two, and then here over the coming weeks, and then we'll move on to other things, and then taking a look at. With the Lord's help and the Lord's leadership, maybe adjusting these articles in a clearer manner, and adding possibly some others. So I pray that the Lord will just help and bless and all that. Whatever we put out and publish, we need to believe it. You know, it needs to be what we truly believe, because that is our message to the world and to believers that are out there. Looking for a church, and to the unsaved, that they might know what the Bible says about these things. So it is part of our witness. Here in Article 17 of the Righteous and the Wicked, and if you have tonight's paper, it'll have today's date on it there, September 16th, 2015. This article states, "We believe that there is a radical an essential difference between the righteous and the wicked." Okay, and this is using the terminology of the scripture. What you and I might use are the saved, what we might do in our day are the saved and the unsaved, or we might say the saved and the lost. Biblical terminology is just this. And the thing is those who are saved are righteous. We're righteous in Christ. We have the new man within. It's not a point of pride. It's a point of thankfulness. But we need to have understanding that that's the way what the Lord has made us. And so we are righteous and we are justified. And if you remember, as we've looked at that of justification, justification is a test of the righteousness that a sinner has. If a person is justified, that means they have the righteousness of Christ. It's the only way that someone can be justified, is by the righteousness of Christ. Any other righteousness will not do. And the Lord does not justify those. Justification made just as if you've never sinned. It takes the righteousness of Christ to be justified by the Lord, and it's something that our Lord does. So we believe that there's a radical and essential difference between the righteous and the wicked, that such only as through faith are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and sanctified, set apart by the Spirit of our God, are truly righteous in His, that is God's, esteem. While all such as continue in impenitence and unbelief are in His sight wicked. And that word impenitence is a synonym for unrepentant. Okay? Those who repent and believe are saved. We're talking about God's vantage point. Those who repent and believe are saved. And that's just the way that it is. It is that way. And so the wicked continue in unrepentance and unbelief. They are in His sight wicked and under the curse. And this distinction holds among men both in and after death. Okay? So we'll see about this as we go through. We believe that there is a radical and essential difference between the righteous and the wicked. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 18, rather. Chapter 3, verse number 18. The scripture says, "Then shall he return." Okay. Let's back up here to verse 16. I like this verse. "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. A book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord." He took note of how they talked and how they referred to the Lord, how they referred to things in their day, and that thought upon his name. See, there were meditation of the Lord is good, thinking about the things of the Lord. And they shall be mine, the Lord saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, the believers, his children, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, but between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. And I find that an interesting verse, and it could certainly be a verse that could much could be preached from. Think about it. In the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what occurred to me in considering this verse. In the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, the people, for the most part, thought that the Pharisees and the Sadducees were righteous. Yet our Lord, when he came, called them hypocrites. And they were the ones that greatly, even the Saul, who became the Apostle Paul after the Lord saved him, he was a Pharisee, a faithful, a good, an excellent Pharisee. See, they thought that those that were religious were righteous, but they were not. They were not. And you take the Pharisees and the Sadducees and their desiring to be Nicolaitans, to have power over the people, okay? Nico, power, that's where the word, the name Nike comes from, okay? Laity, the people, power over the people, that's what they wanted. They wanted control. They liked that religious control over the people, and Jesus threatened that. But then you contrast them with what Simeon in the temple in the day when they brought the Lord Jesus Christ and Mary came to be purified, and he was there, the things according to the law, and that he being the firstborn and all that. Oh, now there was a righteous man. He looked for the things of God. He had the Spirit of God within him, didn't he? And Anna, you know, but the thing is, probably it would be so, all things things being as they are, that the Pharisees and the Sadducees wouldn't account Simeon and Anna as much. You know, Anna was poor, but she served. And the woman that gave two mites gave all of her living. You know, the Lord had much to say about her compared to those that gave a whole bunch, and all of that tallied together up against what she gave, and so on. See, here it says there'll be a discernment between righteous and wicked. And that, you know, this comes with being able to inspect fruit. Is there fruit that is being born? Fruit inspection. You know, we're not the judge, as we've seen in Romans, we're not the judge of people, or we're not the judge of our brothers and sisters in Christ, in that we execute judgment. We're not to shun people. We're not to be mean to people. We're to be guarded in some things. But we are to love our neighbor as ourself, and that even includes those that are wayward, even though we might not want them to infect our church or our family or our children. But there needs to be discernment about what is righteous. What is righteousness? And that's to take this to another practical point. That's what I'm looking for in brethren that we have come and preach, hold our meetings, and preach to the church. I'm looking for men that bear the fruit of the Spirit. That's my responsibility as pastor. I'm looking for men that bear the fruit of the Spirit, because you know what? They'll be able to convey that to us, you know, to teach us, to instruct us, to preach to us in that. So there is a discernment between the righteous and the wicked. And we need to have that now, and we certainly will have it at the end. Between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Okay? And so we need to have the understanding of the Lord and his word to be able to reckon that. And so it shows here that there is the righteous and the wicked. Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. And see, well, that's what the Lord said, is the trees bear fruit. Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 26. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor. This is the opinion of God. But a good word, the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. Okay? So the righteous, and again, this is not talking about self-righteousness and pride. This is talking about obedience of God. Obedience of the Lord. What God says means something to me and, you know, to the person and to their family, their household. It has an effect in their life. They apply it. The Lord says the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked, it just drags them in even more. It seduceth them. Why? Because wickedness, sin, appeals to the flesh. It appeals to the old man. Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah 5. Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 20 is our target verse. Woe to them that call evil good. Woe, this is a verse for our day, isn't it? Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe, woe unto them. There's a discernment that's necessary, and the discernment is, remember how we took a look at Psalm 119? What are the judgments, commandments, statutes, ordinances, there's some other words, precepts of the Lord. What are they? You know, you hear me say, and I say it often, it's the way that I think of it and consider it. God believes something, and I need to believe what God believes, not what the world believes, or not what makes sense to me, or not what makes sense to you. But what the Lord says is the way that it is. That is what we are to hold to and to follow. Genesis 18, Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. Here again, we believe that there is a radical and essential difference between the righteous and the wicked. When the Lord came and told what he was going to do in Sodom and Gomorrah and those cities of the plain, our brother Abraham drew near, it says in verse 23, and said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" Now, Lot was sinful, wasn't he? He went the wrong way, but he was and is the Lord's. Amen? And so that's what that's talking about, the righteous and the wicked. Jeremiah 15. Jeremiah 15, verse number 19 is our verse that we're heading for. "Therefore saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them." And so there's that precious and the vial, that which is the Lord's and that which is not. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." And what's that talking about? It's talking about obedience, okay? It's not, again, understand this of righteousness. In salvation, man has no righteousness that he can offer God or trade God for the salvation of the soul and the forgiveness of sins. But when he saves a sinner, through his word, and through the work of the Spirit, through repentance and faith, then that person is made righteous by the righteousness of Christ being imputed unto them. They are righteous, and they'll be saved forever, and they will be righteous in the sight of God forever. And this obedience that Peter is talking about, or this righteousness, is they hear God, and they believe God, and they follow him in it. What God says goes in their hearts and minds. And then in Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6, verse number 16. Take a look here. And the scripture says, "Know ye not," Romans 6, 16, "know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death," and there's a group of people that are doing that, all right, "or of obedience unto righteousness," obeying the Lord, obeying our Lord. So then we believe there's a radical and essential difference between the righteous and the wicked, that such only as through faith are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and sanctified by the Spirit of God are truly righteous in His or God's esteem. And so how is it? We've already alluded to that. How is it that folks are righteous before the Lord? Well, those that have believed, those that have been justified by the Lord Jesus Christ, those that have been sanctified by the Spirit of God. How is somebody sanctified by the Spirit of God? Well, they're visited by the Spirit of God. Remember what the Lord told Nicodemus? Nicodemus was a master in Israel, and surely a master in Israel should understand how the Lord works. "The Spirit bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but knoweth not whence it cometh or whither it goeth." Nicodemus says, huh? He didn't get it. He didn't understand. And so the Lord changed his witness towards Nicodemus. He went from instructing Nicodemus about you must be born again. Nicodemus, being a master in Israel, should have said, yeah, right, that's the way it works. He said, I'm a grown man. I can't go back into my mother's belly. He didn't get it. Why? Because he wasn't saved. He wasn't righteous. He didn't. So then the Lord shifts gears in that chapter and witnesses to him of the gospel. But those that are sanctified by the Spirit of God are truly righteous in his estimation, in our Lord's esteem. He has saved them and worked in them, brought them, made the gospel effectual, and they have repented and believed. So let's take a look at this. Romans chapter 1. We're in this book. Romans chapter 1, verse number 17. "For in the gospel, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just or the justified shall live by faith." That's out of Habakkuk, right? That's where that comes from. The righteousness of God is revealed in sinners and revealed by our Lord from one believing to another one believing to another one believing to another one believing. Our Lord moving, saving, bringing the gospel to them, and they say, yes, that's what I need. Yes, that's what I believe. Yes, that's what I hold to. For therein, in that gospel, is the righteousness of God. The Lord came and became a man and gave his life and was buried for 3 days and three nights and then rose from the dead to save sinners, to save his people, when you and I hated him. He always has been righteous, and he was righteous in that. And you and I and ourselves never have been. But when he saved us, what happened? His righteousness was revealed again, wasn't it? His righteousness was revealed. And this, the context of this epistle is in church context. And how is one way that righteousness is revealed? The righteousness of God. Is that the sinner says, oh, I've been saved by the Lord. He saved my soul. I trust in him. I rest in him. I'm relying upon him and everything. He's forgiven me and saved me and made me his own. I need to be baptized to obey him. And so in baptism, does a baptism save? No, they're already saved. That makes them a candidate for baptism. But then baptism, they show that they totally and fully identify with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection for them. They identify with being dead to self and alive to Christ forevermore. And so what's that tell? Does it tell about what they did? Again, it tells what Christ did. It was Christ that died and was buried. Amen? That's what in its greatest In its greatest sense, what baptism tells about, what it typifies, is what Christ did. His righteousness is revealed again. He's the Savior, and we've been saved. Amen? And so there's that great working of the Lord and sanctification of the Spirit. Faith, sanctification, and justification. Faith, justification by Jesus, sanctified by the Spirit of God. Those are the truly the righteous in the Lord's estimation. Romans 7, Romans chapter 7. This is fresh on our minds. Chapter 7 of Romans, verse number 6. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held. We couldn't escape, could we? The law stood against us. It condemned us on every turn. I try to turn over a new leaf. The law says, you can't do it, boy. You can't accomplish it. I'm stuck. I was held. You and I were held, weren't we? That we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. We've been made alive. We've been visited. We've been saved by our Lord. 1 John 2. 1 John 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 29. Here's this discernment. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Well, Brother Jim, how can I tell? You know, John's saying you're looking on. John's saying there's self-evaluation to be done, introspection in that. But John says we're looking on too. Well, how do I know? How do I know? Well, fruit. But if somebody's doing righteousness, by God's measure and by God's estimation, they are the Lord's, aren't they? If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. They're the only ones that can do righteousness. Everybody else is wicked. Yeah, but Brother Jim, I do this and I do that and I do the other. Yeah, and well, you should. But understand, that doesn't give you anything before God. No boasting, no bragging, no trading, no buying, no swapping. Before the Lord and your heart and those that are here not saved, your motive and your sin and your depravity before God, it is all wicked before him. Now see, that gets us in trouble with the world. That gets us in trouble with even those that we love very much. But that's what God says, the way it is. That's the way it was with me before my Lord saved me. Oh, and yes, you can see my faults even now after having been saved. But the thing is the Lord has saved, and that's what sinners need, that they might be righteous before God. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. You need the Lord. Not another way, but the Lord's way, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Need him. And so, if ye know that he is righteous, Jesus, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. And so there are the Lord's children that seek to follow him and obey him. 1 John 3:7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he, Jesus, is righteous. And how do we do righteousness? By obeying our Lord, obedience. And we don't, see, the child of God wants to obey when they have learned and they know and they've been instructed by the Lord and they've been instructed by his word. The child of God does and obeys, does things and obeys their Savior because of his great love for them. It's not a thing of making a swap with God. I'll be good and you'll take care of me. No. I'll obey you, Lord, because you have delivered me. See, and from our vantage point, from where we see, it's a fine line. It's a fine line. One can be saved and do the same things that one that's not saved does. And it looked very much the same. Let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as the Lord, he is righteous. Romans chapter 6. Brother Doug did a study in the adult Sunday school class about making our calling and election sure. You know, are you saved? Has the Lord saved you? Are you resting and trusting in Him? Or do you obey and do what you do to try to keep God pleased? How is it with us? Romans chapter 6, verse number 18. Being then made free from sin. Okay, so then there are those who are bound to sin. The wicked. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I want to do what the Lord wants me to do. Like Paul, I have a hard time finding how to be able to accomplish it sometimes because I'm so fraught and so assailed by this old man and the world and everything. But I want to. I want to. I don't have to. I want to. I want to obey my Lord. He did everything for me. I want to obey Him. I'm trusting in Him and resting in Him. Verse number 22. Verse 21, speaking about fruit, let's read that. What fruit had ye then in those things where you have now ashamed? The old way. What came of that that's great and good? We're ashamed of our sin and our wickedness that we've been saved from, aren't we? For the end of those things is death, because it's wickedness and sin. But now being made free from sin, you become servants to God, and you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. Yeah. What, you know, there were those in Rome that wanted to kind of, they wanted to go back to some of that stuff, or that had gone back to some of that. I said, how did that profit? Or where do you stand about it? You got good memories about your sin. And, you know, we need to, we tell about our lives and we tell about our youth and the dumb things that we did, and you know, but let us be careful that we don't brag about our sin, the sin of our past. We can tell about the things that we got into and did to maybe those who are younger than us, but let us never glorify our wickedness and our sin. Let us seek, if we do ever tell about our past, let us tell it so that others can be warned. Amen? So they can be warned and they can be helped. What about that stuff in the past? But now being made free from sin, you became servants to God. You have your fruit unto holiness, that's what we're called to, and the end, everlasting life. So there is a distinction between the wicked and the righteous, and those that are the righteous have been rescued. They've been touched by the Lord, haven't they? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Apostle writes to this church in Greece. And in chapter 11, verse number 32. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, listen, as children, that we should not be condemned with the world. So there is the world that is condemned and will be condemned. And know that word condemnation, coming damnation, coming wrath. It's on the way. Okay? It's on the way. But we are chastened by our Lord that we might be rescued. So there's been a touch and a change, a salvation that's been wrought. Proverbs 11. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 31. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner. Well, we reap what we sow. Right? And once we've been saved, are there not blessings that abound to the child of God? Oh, you may never be wealthy. You may never have the things of the world. We could well be like our brother Lazarus the beggar. But the thing is, we've been saved. We've been rescued in this life and have some time to know it. But the thing is, none of us have that about, at least to this day, none of us have that of, like Brother Lazarus had. We've been blessed and helped by our Lord indeed, haven't we? And then the wicked and the sinner, as they pursue wickedness and sin, the other way, not the Lord's way, they just heap to themselves more condemnation and more wrath, don't they? 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 17. For the time has come, and this is a good verse to tell about those that are the righteous as compared to those that are the wicked. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. You know, there's going to be the rapture one day, and somehow in there some way, and I wonder if it doesn't have to do with eternity being eternity, where in eternity it's always now. Here there's time, but in eternity it's always now. There's no clock ticking in eternity. But you know what? The children of God and the churches of God are going to be judged by our Lord. Not a judgment of whether we'll be condemned in hell in the lake of fire. We've been rescued from that in Christ. That's done. That's past. But we will be judged as to how we obeyed our Lord as children and as churches, as families. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if at first begin at us, somewhere there after the rapture, the Lord takes care of that. What shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Hebrews tells us, and that's speaking to we who are saved, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's speaking to you and me that are saved. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, that word scarcely means with much work, with much difficulty. Jesus was the only one that could win our redemption. And Jesus, the Son of God, had never died. But he was willing to become a man so he could die. God had never experienced death. But the one that could do what needed to be done for us did it. And he did it completely. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? So the article states that only as through faith are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and sanctified by the Spirit of our God are truly righteous in the way that the Lord looks at it and his esteem. Then we come here to the third article where it says, while all such as continue in impenitence, unrepentance, or no repentance, and unbelief are in his sight wicked and under the curse. Let's take a look at this. 1 John 5. 1 John 5. We're close. 1 John 5, verse number 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. So speaking to the saints, we know that We are of God because he's birthed us, hasn't he? He saved us. He's made us his own through Christ. Through what he's brought to us, what he's shown us, what he's his touch upon us, the sanctification and work of the Spirit. He's redeemed us. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. We've been saved out of that. There's two different kinds of people, isn't there? There's saved sinners and unsaved sinners. Saved sinners and lost sinners. In Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Without Christ, our only hope was the law. And it was no hope, was it? Because we can't. Because we couldn't do it. And indeed, it is a curse to be under the law. Because it shows us our sins, it brings us to Christ, and that's the reason that the Lord brought it. But in that state alone, being there under the law, it's the only hope that we have, and we started off wrong to start with to be able to be helped by it. It was only Jesus that kept it. John 3:36. John chapter 3, verse number 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But those that can, the article says, while all such as continue in impenitence and unbelief are in his sight wicked and under the curse. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, present tense, right now. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Right now. Don't have to wait. Right now. Right now. Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah 57 and verse number 21. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. No peace. No peace. The only way one can have peace is in Christ. Psalm 10. Psalm 10, verse 4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, all right, his face, the way he looks, the way he goes, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. A proud heart, a stiff neck, a hard heart. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Well, that's sad, isn't it? Sad and pitiful and in a bad, bad way. No repentance there. No faith there. Just self-confidence. Self-conceit or conceitedness. And then Isaiah 55, again the article says, while all such as continue in impenitence or unrepentance and unbelief are in his sight wicked and under the curse. And Isaiah 55, verse number 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. But the wicked doesn't want to. That's what the Lord told Nicodemus in John 3. The light comes around and the wicked run. Why? They don't want their wickedness revealed. They love it. We loved our sin before the Lord saved us. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Just forget, take your way and your pursuit, your idea. The sinner, the wicked, take their idea and throw that away. Get rid of that. And hear the Lord. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. How do I call, Brother Jim? I tell you what, you just be honest with the Lord about your sinfulness, your wickedness, your need for faith, your need to believe, your need to trust. As the man that brought his son that was demon-possessed to the apostles and they couldn't heal him, and then the Lord coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration, and the Lord told him, said, all things are possible to him that believeth in me. And the man with tears in his eyes said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return. Let him turn unto the Lord. Let him go to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. The Lord loves to bestow mercy. And to our God, let him return unto the Lord, and let him return unto our God, for he will abundantly pardon. But the sinner's got to confess and repent before God that he's got something that needs to be pardoned for. And instead, the wicked in and of themselves say, no, God's not fair, God's not just, God's not this, God's not that. I was thinking about that this week. Why is it, it's just in it. It's in our negative way. If the Lord saved one sinner, then why would there ever be a thought in anyone's heart and mind that the Lord wouldn't save them? But it's just like us to go to the negative. We want to blame, as Adam stood before the Lord, we want to blame the Lord. How about just hear the Lord and believe our Lord? He says what he says. And may the Lord help and sinners hear him. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Forsake your wicked way. Repent, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. There is a distinction. There is a vast difference. There is a essential and radical difference between the righteous and the wicked. Well, Lord willing, we'll take up here next time and take up this last part of this article. And this distinction holds among men both in and after death. Once death takes place, it's sealed. From our vantage point where we live here in this life, here in this time, in this world, when death happens, it's sealed. It's done. We're going to see that in the verse that talks about that in Revelation. The wicked's going to remain the wicked. And the righteous is going to remain the righteous. This is the daytime. This is the daytime for the Lord's people to work. This is the daytime for those that are without Christ to hear and repent and to seek the Lord, receiving. At death, it's done. And none of us know when we'll die. So may the Lord help and bless. If you're here and you're not saved, repent of your sins and believe the gospel. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.